intended. In comes Dozier, and the Royals go in front 3-1 on a Hanser hit.
Hanser Alberto with the two-run double. That was the game-winning hit in the sixth inning. Royals win 3-1 over the Astros. Beat the Astros for the second straight night. Makes sense. Astros, first-place team in the AL West. Royals beat them back-to-back nights. 3-1 was the final last night. Daniel Lynch was great again. Seven strong innings, one run, four hits against one of the best offenses in baseball. Lynch now has an ERA of 2.35 in his last five starts since being recalled from AAA Omaha on July the 25th. Mike Matheny on Lynch and his gem of a night.
He came out and was special. And I thought he did it without maybe his best pitch with the slider. I thought he probably took him about to the fourth to really get that going. And then all of a sudden it started to bite and you saw the swings look different. And he didn't use his curve too much. So that was fastball location and a plus changeup. That changeup, you know, I remember when we drafted him and we were talking about the curve and how devastating the curveball can be. So that's just exciting to know there's still another weapon in there. And that was basically fastball changeup, moving it around, using all four quadrants with the heater. Just a really nice job of making quality pitches when he needed to.
Lynch pitched great, but he also received some terrific defense behind him. Carlos Santana with a double play to erase a leadoff walk in the second inning. And then probably the biggest defensive play in the third, Michael A. Taylor throwing out Martin Maldonado, former Royals catcher, at home to end the Astros' momentum in the third inning. And then really Lynch, for the most part, cruised after that. And Lynch goes seven innings, giving up just four hits and one run, three walks, five strikeouts. Josh Domont the hold. Jacob Brintz with his second major league save, although interesting in the ninth with two walks, but he did get two punchouts. And the Royals win 3-1. Offensive star Andrew Benintendi, 2-for-4 with two runs scored. And, of course, Alberto with the two-run single, give the Royals the lead in the bottom of the sixth. Royals now 51-67 on the season. Astros are 70-49. And the Royals are in action tonight. Brady Singer, 3-8 on the year, ERA of 5.5, taking on former Royal and former Royal Cy Young Award winner Zach Greinke, who is 11-3 on the year, ERA of 3.51. That's at 7-10 tonight at the K. Greinke making his seventh start against the Royals since being traded away years ago. That helped really, honestly, get the ball rolling towards the Royals winning a World Series in 2015 and making the World Series in 2014. So the Royals winning a couple of games here, now 51-67. Game three of the four games set tonight, Royals versus former Royal Zach Greinke. Should be fun. All right, any local sports you want to pass along to folks?
Continue to let everybody know we're starting to get schedules posted at ncksports.com for the fall sports season. So we've got most of the North Central Activities Association entered there. So we'll have Northern Plains League schedules coming up later this week as well. So visit ncksports.com to find out the schedules for your favorite schools this fall.
All right, time to get a daily training camp recap from Mitch and Matt, and then we'll discuss how the price may have just gone up to try to keep Tyrann Mathieu in Kansas City as a Chief.
Hi again, everybody. Welcome, Chiefs Kingdom, to this training camp update. It's brought to you by the incredible people at Mosaic. They do great work headquartered here in St. Joe. Mitch Holtis with you, the voice of the Chiefs, along with Chiefs reporter Matt McMullen. First news of the day, five cuts were announced earlier this morning. Again, the National Football League has changed things in the 2021 season. All the cuts just aren't happening in one big grog on Labor Day weekend. So five players cut today. Tight end Evan Bayless, former Packer, was injured in this camp. Defensive back Manny Patterson. Also wide receivers Antonio Callaway and Chad Williams, and running back Elijah McGuire, who had a catch on that game-winning drive on Saturday night in the win over San Francisco. But five guys cut today. There's 85 now in camp and not 90.
Yep, down to 85. And this is how this will work moving forward. Five more guys will be cut following the next preseason game at Arizona. And then you get down to 53 before August 31st. So two more rounds of cuts, one more small cut, then the big cut coming up. But that's why these preseason games matter so much, because the San Francisco game, for example, for this entire roster, guys trying to make this team, that was their one chance to make it, because there was cuts today. And the guys that made it, good for you. Let's move forward against Arizona and keep things going.
One of the highlights of this practice was the fact that the offense, particularly in the last special category period, kind of got going. They scored a late touchdown with Tyreek Hill at the pylon just over my left shoulder, but there was a lot of energy from Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce throughout the whole offense, because they saw especially the offensive line being able to get up-tempo this late into camp. being in shape, and it encouraged everyone.
That's amazing, isn't it? Because we are on, if you include rookie camp, the 3 days of rookie camp, when the quarterbacks were here and the rookies were here, it's day 18 of camp, okay? Yeah. It is hot. This table's super hot. Camp is a grind, and it's particularly hard when you go from camp to a preseason game, you play a football game, then come back to camp. It can be hard. Dave Tobe just talked about that. So to see that up-tempo, that energy, that fire from the guys during the end of practice during a team drill is very exciting. And it reminds me of what the end of the preseason game was like with Shane Buechele leading that game-winning drive. Who were the most excited people on the team when that happened? Guys like Patrick Mahomes going crazy, happy for the guys scoring that touchdown. So you love seeing the up-tempo. You love seeing the energy here at practice because that will carry over into the season.
Yeah, hand me a spatula emoji right now and I'll cook you a hot ham and cheese. Right here on this baby. Jody Fortson, yeah. We saw him come up with maybe the play of the game with the catch. San Francisco showed a blitz. Shane Buechele had to read it. The hot was Fortson. He made a one-handed grab. It ends up being a 19-yard gain. Not only that, but can you stack him up and carry over? And these are hard practices. I said it's almost like having your apple pie and ice cream, and then you have to eat asparagus. But Fortson is starting to show some consistency.
There's always a guy every single camp that seems to elevate. And that's what you want to see is who elevates, who really makes a run at this roster. And Jody Fortson's been that guy in this camp. If you're following Twitter, if you follow Chief Social, you see Jody Fortson everywhere because he's been making plays every single day. So the first challenge for him was take that into a preseason game against live competition and play well. And he did. He played great. Now the next challenge is come back from that preseason game. You're feeling pretty good and still make plays in practice. And we saw that here today. Had another great deep catch down the field for what probably would have been a touchdown. So Jody Fortson's looking good every single day here in practice. Needs to keep stacking it. We'll see what he does against Arizona, but so far so good for Jody Fortson.
And it's Taco Tuesday. It's Taco Tip Touchdown Tuesday. Our final point here is Taco Charlton gets a touchdown off a tip pass.
He sure did. And then we saw Damone Harris have almost the identical play yesterday. A tip pass, yeah. Picks it off at the line of scrimmage. That's really been a theme throughout camp is guys getting their hands on footballs and putting them up in the air. And maybe something good can happen for a defender. And that seems like kind of an obvious point, but that takes energy and gets back to the up-tempo conversation we had. The defense throughout camp has been playing with energy. They're getting their hands on footballs and just trying to create big plays. And when you're playing against the best offense in football, you want to try to do that because that will help you on Sundays against your competition.
One more report. It'll be tomorrow, Military Appreciation Day, and the final practice here in St. Joe. For Matt McMullen, I'm Mitch Holtis. Chiefs Kingdom, stay with us. We'll keep you updated.
Mitch Holtis, Matt McMullen with your recap of training camp. That one, of course, recorded yesterday after practice. They're back at it today up in St. Joe. And the big news yesterday off the field involving, well, roundaboutly involving the Kansas City Chiefs, is that Seahawks safety Jamal Adams has agreed to a 4-year, $70 million deal. This is certainly relevant to the Chiefs' contract negotiations with the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu. And Tyrann Mathieu saw all the zeros in Jamal Adams' new contract, and he tweeted, "The disrespect is noted," in response to a tweet mentioning a deal in relation to his extension talks. Adams' new 4-year, $70 million contract makes him the NFL's highest-paid safety on a per-year basis. Mathieu is currently in the last season of a contract that has an average value of $14 million. The four-time All-Pro has become one of the NFL's best safeties with the Chiefs and warrants a sizable raise off that number. However, it should be noted that Adams is 4 years younger than Tyrann Mathieu. It's likely Tyrann's next contract will feature the tail end of his prime and post-prime years. Teams aren't typically in the business of paying for past performance, so it's possible Chiefs are doing a little projecting forward in their extension talks. So when you don't get somebody locked up, if you truly want to lock a guy up and want him on the team in the future, the longer you wait to lock a guy up, we have noticed over the years, especially with Chiefs football, it comes back to bite you. Because the only way it doesn't bite you is that you don't have any interest in extending a guy. But the longer you wait to extend somebody, the deals go higher and higher for guys at those same positions. We saw that happen back in the day with Justin Houston and cost the Chiefs a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
John Dorsey didn't do that one very well. Dwayne Bowe was another one. The Chiefs had some bad contracts. They waited 1 year too long to make a deal and then overpaid. And some people could argue maybe that's what they did to Chris Jones too. Tyrann Mathieu, the Chiefs are saying all the right things. They want him to be a Chief. They say they want him to be a Chief. I still think they're trying to work out all the finances, and I think what complicates things is Orlando Brown. I think it complicates what the Chiefs want to do. I also think what complicates things is Frank Clark's situation. Frank Clark tweaked a hamstring yesterday in practice, and he probably won't be playing at all until maybe the season opener, and we still don't know if he's going to be suspended, and we also don't know if he's going to go to jail. His court date's in October, and if he goes to jail, then the Chiefs all of a sudden have some extra money. So I think the Chiefs are waiting this out as long as they can, and I understand why, because you might want to figure out the Frank Clark situation. You might want to see how Orlando Brown's faring in this season. At the same time, you don't want Tyrann Mathieu to be a malcontent and be a problem, and I don't think he will be, but he's obviously going to play with a chip on his shoulder, and if nothing else, he's auditioning for other teams to give him a big deal if he ends up being a free agent at the end of the year. I think the Chiefs are going to work something out, and they're going to have Tyrann Mathieu on this team in the future. I think that's their intent. I just don't think the Chiefs know how it's all going to fit, and they don't want to be irresponsible and give him this huge deal that's almost the same as Jamal Adams, which sets the bar. And Adams, by the way, is not as complete a player as Tyrann Mathieu is, but Adams is 4 years younger. Mm. And of course, Adams is a stronger, bigger player than Tyrann Mathieu, but Mathieu is better in so many other ways. Adams not a great cover safety. He's more of a guy that rushes the quarterback and so forth and so on, and is good against the run. So the bar is set at 4 years, $70 million. Tyrann Mathieu is going to want something close to that. And so now the question is how the Chiefs make it work. And you know, Matthew's thrown out some vile tweets out there a little bit. You can tell he's a little bit unhappy. Is he going to, at some point, get frustrated with the way this is going and eventually blow up at a reporter who's not being a bully but simply asking the question, hey, what do you think about this? That might set him off. Will he just get really mad sometime when he sees a tweet and go off? I think it's possible. I'm not saying he will, but I think it's possible. You get frustrated enough, sometimes you do things you kind of regret. And I do think Tyrann Mathieu has to, I mean, it's only human nature. If I'm Tyrann Mathieu, I'm thinking the same thing. Chris Jones got paid. Mahomes got paid. Kelsey got his contract, his paid, his extension. Tyreek Hill's got his money. I mean, why? Frank Clark got his money. We brought him over. I got my money for 3 years. I have done everything that they asked me and then some. I helped get this defense over the top. I'm the quarterback of this defense. And I'm very important in relaying everything that Steve Spagnuolo wants to run out to the defense. He is the quarterback. He's the one that communicates. And he's going to be sitting there going, it's my turn to get paid. I can't blame him.
Not at all. It is his turn to get paid, right? Whether that's by the Chiefs or somebody else, yes. Right? But it is his turn to get paid.
Right.
There's no question about that. So, yeah, I mean, I think Tyrann Mathieu does a pretty good job of kind of toeing the line on a lot of different stuff, right?
I think he's very careful.
So, like,
right now.
I don't see him blowing up at, like, some reporter in a press conference, right?
I think it's possible. I don't think he will. But I think it is possible.
Yeah.
If he's had a rough day and he's just completely tired of hearing about it.
Yeah.
Or he sees another safety get a big deal. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. I'd see more on Twitter, like doing something there. Yeah.
Saying something
instead
wrong,
of like actually, you know, after a practice or something or a game and a press conference or whatever. I don't think they're going to be talking about this once training camp's done and they're actually into the season because I think that's kind of a understood thing in the NFL that they're either going to get it done in the preseason or they're going to wait until the season's over. And there's really not a lot of contract talk, even when there should be contract talk from reporters because they're talking about the games and everything that's going on. Mm-hmm. So, but I think Tyrann Mathieu's a guy that is pretty even keeled and centered well and knows how to toe that line of maybe not going too far with it, mm-hmm. but making sure everybody knows how he feels still at the same time.
Right. No, I think you're right. I think that's pretty accurate.
And that's what I'm hopeful, right?
Right.
But, you know, you just never know. I mean, we're all human.
But
like
we've also seen him, and granted it's in the spirit of battle, and I say battles in football battle, we've seen him mic'd up, and he has lost it.
Oh, yeah.
He has lost it. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. He fires up his team. He gets really mad. He's very competitive. And I could see where there's a point where he just he slips up and he just says something that's just, you know, represents his frustration. I could see that happening. I'm not saying he's going to scream and yell and get all berate a reporter or anything. I think he just might say something or just say, you know what, I am tired of this. I should be paid. I'm not being paid. And I am disrespected. And that's basically what he's been saying when you read his little vile tweets. Like here, he says, duly noted, disrespect. I mean, he's using it as fuel. And we'll see. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I think the Chiefs, if the salary cap wasn't a factor and the Chiefs didn't have to pay all the guys they already paid, I think they should re-sign Tyrann Mathieu, and I'd probably do a 3-year deal instead of 4. Mm-hmm. But if they have to do four, of course, you can always cut them after two or three. And then how much money's up front guaranteed in a signing bonus. Yeah. But what complicates this thing to me is the Chiefs gave Chris Jones all that money. And I said at that time, you know, we talked about on the show, you have Tyrann Mathieu coming up. You got Mahomes' deal that was still coming up. And Chris Jones, at the time, we were saying, I don't know about this. I'm okay. They decided to go with Chris Jones. He's younger, no doubt. He's 25 or 26, I think Chris Jones is. Tyrann Mathieu's 29, okay? Just turned 29. Not quite as old as some people may think he is, yeah. But he's had wear and tear on the tires in regards to torn ACL and this and that. Chris Jones, by the way, is 27. So it's not as big a discrepancy as you might think. But still, 2 years of a prime of your career is pretty important to hit that about right window-wise in regards to what you pay. I understand the arguments. Hey, you know, Jamal Adams is younger. I also understand Jamal Adams isn't as complete as a player as Tyrann Mathieu. And Jamal Adams hasn't won a Super Bowl, as far as I know. And I know he hasn't. He was with the Jets. And Tyrann Mathieu's been to two Super Bowls. And he's a big reason why the Chiefs punched through and won the Super Bowl 2 years ago. So I think, and then the next thing is, do you pay him on past performance? Well, that's usually how you do pay people in the real world. You pay him on performance. Like, I read the starter article. They can't get caught up in what he's done in the past. But that's how you usually judge how you pay somebody. Chris Jones doesn't get 4 years, $80 million if he's just a lump on the log and can't get any sacks. You don't pay him $80 million on, we think you're going to get 10, 15 sacks a year. No, you pay him on past performance. That's what you're paying him on. And then you're paying on what you expect in the future and the potential of improving or what you can bring to the table. So it is a very delicate situation. I think it could implode somewhat in some ways. I don't think it will. I just think it could. But I don't think it will. And I do think it'll eventually get worked out. My question is, how is that going to impact the Chiefs down the line as to what they do? Signing a guy that might be at the very end of his prime of his career, very close to the end of 29, which sounds crazy to say. But if you 4-year deal, you're probably going to be paying him for a year or two where he's just not the same player.
Yeah, it's...
Which I think you're seeing that with Frank Clark right now. Yeah, Frank Clark's that old, but I think you're seeing that with Frank Clark right now.
Yeah, that's, you know, you're talking about paying, and you have to figure out an average...
Clark's 28, by the way.
The balance of where you're at with past performance and where you're at with how long do I think this guy's career is going to last.
Right.
You know? Where's he at physically? Where's he at from the standpoint of I don't want to give him that fourth year, but I have to. Mm-hmm. But I'm kind of leery about it. I'm shy to do it and don't really want to go to that fourth year. But if I want to keep him, I have to. So as you think about that, I mean, your extension's going to last until he's 33, 34 if you do that, right?
Right, exactly. So we'll see how the Chiefs play this. It's going to be very interesting. But as more and more guys get contracts, safeties get contracts like Jamal Adams, it raises the bar. It creates a little more urgency. And I still think the Chiefs are doing what I probably would do right now. I know in the past the Chiefs probably should have been proactive and did this sooner than later. But in this situation, there's some moving parts to this, especially the Frank Clark situation. I think they're wanting to get a little bit more, have an idea where this is going.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, is I think the Chiefs obviously want to see how Orlando Brown, because that's a guy they're going to have to pay a lot of money to, whether they franchise tag him at the end of this year or give him a big deal. And he's only 24 and Tyrann Mathieu's 29. And you sit here and go, if the Chiefs get to a point where who are we going to sign long term, Tyrann Mathieu or Orlando Brown? I would say Orlando Brown. Because he's 5 years younger. He's got many more years of his prime. And I hate to say that because Tyrann Mathieu, I think, is deserving of getting his extension, no question. And I think it'd be great if he stayed with the Chiefs. But it might be a numbers game, and he might be the odd man out. We shall see. Yeah. I think the Chiefs say all the right things, but sometimes you say all the right things, and it doesn't mean that's what you want. Or you don't want to give him as much as Tyrann wants, and Tyrann's the one that says, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'll just open it up to open bidders, and if the Chiefs can outbid somebody, great. And if not, I'm gone. That could be what happens.
Yeah.
We're running out of time before the season starts here, by the way.
Definitely.
September 12th. So we've basically got 3 weeks. All right. We turn our attention to college football. Lance Leipold is the new head coach of the Kansas Jayhawk football team, and he was asked about the culture of his program and what he believes in.
You know, like all of us, if you're going to be a professional, whatever your occupation is or whatever your task is right now, how do you go about it each and every day? And culture is just how we practice, how we prepare, how you come into the building, how you take care of your body, your nutrition, and all those things. And right, wrong, or indifferent, we're doing a lot more and asking them to be a lot more detailed in that than they ever have been before. And we're going through that in stages, but all in all, very, very much pleased about where it's at. Just like everything, you'll find with me, I'll never be completely pleased and always striving to be better. But at the same time, I tell our staff and players that we are not going to compromise our expectations of this program.
Few notes for KU football camp. Lance Leipold and coordinators are learning more about KU football players. They're looking for consistency, of course. And this is not good news, in my opinion at all, is they're trying to find some separation between the quarterbacks and the quarterback competition. They're still looking for that separation, which means you don't have a good quarterback. That's simple to me. Wide receivers have shown some improvement. Defensive backs, they think, are improved. So time will tell, but this is the guy KU feels really good about as their new head coach, and rightfully so. He's done everything very well at Buffalo, but can that translate to a Power 5 conference in the Big 12 with the KU Jayhawks? So Lance Leipold off to his start in preseason practices. They get ready for their season opener on September 3rd on a Friday night at home against South Dakota.